The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And good afternoon and welcome back to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, your publisher host of Generations Magazine, Generations Radio. My co-host will be here shortly, Melissa Mansfield, our local gerontologist. But anyway, if you've heard our promos every Friday morning about 6:45 or so, we do a promo on the AM 690 show with Mike Buck, talking about what's happening this weekend. And, you know, we discussed about caregiving for many shows, and it's just growing. And I was mentioning to him that, you know, caregiving in Hawaii is such a huge issue. And so is homeless, but I think to me personally, because I'm in this industry, caregiving is a much, much bigger issue. So just imagine a snowball rolling down our warm streets here as it picks up speed and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Unfortunately, with Hawaii and caregiving, this snowball is going to go faster and it's going to grow bigger because we have more seniors than anybody in a country. Our seniors live longer than anybody in a country. And our cost of care is one of the highest in the country. So this is a snowball that we're going to try and get a hold of. So we have two guests here besides Melissa, who just popped into the studio. Thank you, Melissa. Talking about this new bill, if you've been following the newspaper here, about the Kupuna Caregivers Bill. And so we have, Melissa, we have Pedro Haro and Darlene.
Rodriguez,
welcome to the show, Darlene.
Hi.
Welcome.
I've
seen you in a paper, and I've heard your story, and it's very memorable. But also, it's really important when we talk about these issues to have the stories. And there's so many stories, but I did love your story. But let me get back. I'm going to come back to you.
Okay.
So, Melissa, you want to introduce Pedro? And I know you know more about him probably than me. I do.
Pedro, yes. Actually, we met last week at the rally. So Pedro actually has a master's in public health, and right now it seems like you work with a couple of organizations, but you're currently, for this bill, it's caregiving across generations.
Mm-hmm. Caring across generations.
Caring across generations. So tell me a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I've been working on social justice issues for the last 15 years here in Hawaii. I grew up in Lahaina on Maui.
Oh, nice.
And I've been fortunate to really be working on issues that I personally feel very strongly about. I have a lot of friends and people in my family who are caregivers. And so when this opportunity came up to work on this issue, it was really meaningful to me, to my heart. And listening to stories like Darlene's, listening to many, many people who talk about, you know, their particular scenario and how they're all the same, but they're also, you know, unique, they face their unique hurdles. You know, I wanted to work on this immediately since day one.
Yeah, caregiving is very near and dear to my heart. My background was home care, and of course, getting caregivers, finding caregivers was an issue to give that relief to their to the family. I mean, I would have families call me. You can hear the desperation in their voice, the sadness, the unsure of where to go, what to do. You know, my mom is about to be discharged. My life is about to be turned upside down. I don't have a clue of what's going to happen or where to turn. So this has always been something that's very emotional, because it is such a epidemic that I don't think people understand. You know, it's because it happens in the home. It doesn't happen out in front of the world. So to me, this bill, I think, is very important for our future generation as well.
Yeah. So Pedro, I've been reading the paper and I was reading about the bill for our listeners out there. Can you break down the bill? Let's start off with that, and then we'll go on to the other items of issues that we want to talk about. So the bill, in a nutshell, can you explain how the bill works? Make sure that people realize it's not really coming out of their taxpayer dollars, but technically it is, but it's not more. It's the same taxes are coming out now. It's just we have to try and appropriate some funds. So why don't you kind of break the bill down?
Sure. So it's House Bill 607 or Senate Bill 534. They're companion bills.
Try it again.
House Bill 607.
607.
Yes, and Senate Bill 534.
So real quick, you know, even though I have a relative as a politician, people know that. why are there two numbers and when two bills? And then what happens? Do we have to vote on one or the other?
Well, it's a, you know, this is way above my head as well. But I think the thinking is they need to be able to be approved by both sides. So if you have the same bill working on both sides from both ends, eventually they'll end up on the same.
Okay.
You know, on the same side, and they will come to an agreement. They have to come to an agreement. They have to be the same bill. You can't pass two things twice.
Okay, but how can we have different numbers then?
Yeah, so the idea is that there's a House bill version so that the House of Representatives and the people working there can sort of put their own touches on it, and there's a Senate bill version so they can put their touches on it, and then at the end they come in agreement and vote on it.
Okay. Yeah, that's good because, you know, even though I'm well-read, I never really thought about it until – I hear, you know, we've had a couple of issues come up recently with House Bill and Senate Bill and a different number. That never really crossed my mind until a few minutes ago. I was like, yeah, why do they have it, by the way? So thank you very much. So it's House Bill 607 and Senate Bill 534.
That's okay. Right. So what is at the essence of the bill, what's at the core of it is providing what we call respite care for working caregivers. So what the bill would provide is provide $70 a day up to $70 a day for caregivers who are providing care for somebody in their family. The caregiver would have to be working 30 hours a week or more, and
full-time job.
It hasn't been specified whether it could be multiple jobs or it has to be one single job. But the idea is that it comes out to about 30 hours or more a week, and that they would. That the person that they're taking care of, their kupuna, their elderly that they're taking care of, needs assistance with two
ADLs.
Yes,
two activities of daily living.
Activities of daily living. That's correct. And so that includes things like, you know, showering or preparing food or transportation or things like that. And so this isn't the 24-hour-a-day care for somebody who needs that kind of service. What this is aimed to do is for what we call the gap population. We call this people who are not eligible for Medicaid. They're working individuals who are, you know, making an income, but they still can't afford to be able to pay for that type of care. So they're working full time, sometimes even more, and then they come home and take care of their elderly, and the family sort of struggles to be able to put all of that together. We hear, you know, people's sisters having to, you know, trade shifts or one of them has to leave work early or some of them have to leave their jobs altogether because they're not able to find a job where they're able to have that accommodation. This provides that respite care. It provides about 3 hours, we believe, about 3 or 4 hours, give or take a few, of home health aid, of home care, of somebody who can maybe transport when they're not able to get off work to take, you know, somebody to an appointment. Or to somebody needs to go shopping for the weekly, you know, food, and they don't have anybody to stay with their husband during that time. That's the kind of care that this would provide. So we're not looking at, you know, providing the sun and the moon for everybody. We're really looking at people who are working individuals who are making a living, who are making a home, and need a little bit of extra help to make that happen. We estimate there's about 150,000 working caregivers in the state right now who are really needing this kind of support. What we can't do without is we can't do without their support. The state would not be able to function. These families wouldn't be able to function if these caregivers don't do what they do. So what we're doing is helping them to be able to provide that care that they are already giving.
Hmm. And so is there a limit on how much one family can receive these funds?
You know, that hasn't been particular. The way that the bill is going to work is that it's going to be executed by the Executive Office on Aging, and they have these county offices that will be able to administer these funds. We call it sort of like a voucher system. The monies don't go directly to the family, but they would go to the services that will be provided so that way it's an easier interaction. And so what these county offices are going to do is they're going to assess a family to be able to determine what is the most needed care for that family. So it'll be worked out through all of those administrative rules and all of those once that the bill goes through and they start working all of that out. But what's really important about it is that it would be personalized service for a family. It's not just, you know, a blanket like here is transportation or here is a meal or something like that, that it would be really geared towards what that family needs.
So there will be a care plan that will be set up for each client?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So that would require some, you know, being able to work with those county offices to be able to make an assessment of that particular family to determine the care.
So, and you had mentioned that there will be home health aides. What about personal care assistants?
Yes, so that's part of included on the bill. It's short for chores around the home. If they need to have, you know, somebody be able to help them around the home as well. And every family is different, right? Mm-hmm. Every family sort of needs that different thing. I have a very good friend who talked about how he took care of his mom for over 10 years, take her to dialysis and bring her back, take care of all of her bed sores because she was bedridden, you know, had to give her a bath. And he talks about how that was the most uncomfortable, him, the son, and the mother, having to give his mother a bath. And he said, that's what I would have used that $70 for. It would have made our relationship just, you know, that much easier if I could have had somebody come in and help me with that portion, because it was very difficult for him to have to go through that. And he went through that for over 10 years. So, you know, those kind of, that's what he would have elected to be able to get that help for.
Right. Now, I hear that, you know, having to toilet a, you know, a family member that might be modest, it just really could affect their relationship in a sense, because all of a sudden you're seeing your mom in a different light. Mm-hmm. You could, and that could become, you know, an agitation or, you know, I guess, why am I doing this now? So I could see how that would be a great service.
Yes. And what we're, you know, with that particular story that I shared, you know, he would take care of his mom all day long and then go to work from 4 to midnight as a bus driver. And he would talk about, you know, then you get up the next day and you do it all over again.
Right.
And what we're looking at, particularly for this bill, is also not just helping the individuals and the families, but we think that this is beneficial for businesses. That the idea of absenteeism, you know, if something happens at home and you miss work, that affects productivity.
Absolutely.
And then we talk also about presenteeism. When you are there present at work, but you can't concentrate on the task at hand because you have so many things happening at home. You're worried about, you know, it's about 11 o'clock. This is when dad's going to get up and, you know,
is he going to fall?
Exactly.
Or, yeah.
And so all of those issues, if you had somebody be able to help at home, that would make such a huge difference. What we found out is that there's almost 50%. There was a research that was released by Ward Research, and we found out that over 50% actually of people, homes that were surveyed had missed work. Or had missed at least some hours of work because of caregiving duties.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that with this, we can reduce absenteeism, we can definitely reduce presenteeism, reduce the stress level of caregivers, and increase the quality of life for our kupuna.
Yeah. I've been saying this for a couple few years now. I get a call 2 or 3 days a week. Now it's about 4 to 5 days a week. I'll give you an example. And these are people I know. An attorney friend of mine just called me the other day. His wife, who's a financial advisor, moved her mother to Hawaii from Los Angeles, and they're taking care of her when they can. They're paying for a little bit of service now, but they both have full-time jobs, very highly responsible jobs, and they're struggling. I said, it's only been 3 months. What do you mean, like, a year from now? I said, you got to figure out how maybe you have to place her someplace. I was having dinner last night with a friend of mine I played softball with, and I didn't realize that he's been taking care of his mother who has Alzheimer's for the last 2 years. That's why I haven't seen him for 2 years. And then the third one was a guy I was golfing with the other day. And, yeah, he can't go to Vegas because he has to be here for his mom. And there's nobody to watch her if he goes to Vegas to get away. But respite is really, really huge. And we're seeing more and more of that. I was curious, do you know of any bathing service on Maui? Because on Oahu, I believe St. Francis has medical bathing service, which is really good. Mm-hmm. Darlene is shaking her head. But I don't know if you want to check on Maui, but that's really, really, that is really important because I had a client, actually really big guy. It was great, great guy. I loved talking story with him, but he was about 400 pounds. And he had a hard time getting out, going up. He had a two-story condo. He couldn't go upstairs anymore.
Right.
And then I said, well, what about bathing and showering? He goes, oh, St. Francis comes once a week. Once a week. To bathe, but he can't bathe anymore. He only can bathe once a week. But that is really important. I've told people before, I don't think I could bathe my mother. So I'm glad she bought long-term care insurance at the age of 76.
Yeah.
So they've, and you know, more and more companies are getting out of the long-term care insurance business. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are still companies now. I'm actually applying right now, but it is limiting, you know. But I wanted to get to Darlene. Darlene, thank you for coming by. And I saw you in the paper. I read your story. And it's so true what's going on. And so can you give us a little about your story?
Sure. My mother is 86. She's been living with Alzheimer's and vascular dementia now for about 9 years.
9 years.
9 years, yes. And I remember when it first started, the hardest part was understanding what to do, because they just tell you and then it's like, okay, now what, you know? In the meantime, yeah. My mother had stopped bathing. She had stopped taking her medications.
Were you always living with her, though?
I was living with her at the time, and she had actually started acting really strange. And so it took a long time to get her situated so that she could function, so that she could be able to take her medication, get her set up with daycare, get her to see all the right doctors at the right time, so that they could actually do a good prognosis with the right medication. And then, so it was okay for a while, but that took a lot of time to do that. And then in 2012, going to daycare, she actually fell. And this was the hardest part, because when she needed immediate medical attention, and I remember leaving work early and rushing up to Wahewa General from town where she was, and then everything just kind of happened very quickly. And so this is the hard part when things are set up and then something catastrophic happens like that, or and you're in a crisis mode. So she ended up needing rehab, and she came home after about, I think she was away for about 2 weeks or more, came home, and then it was like, okay, now what? And she couldn't go up the stairs. She could barely get from the bed to the bathroom. And that's when I thought I had it together, and then this happens. And I didn't know what to do, and I called a bunch of different friends who also had needed their parents needed help, you know, care. And I was able to find someone, but it was very expensive. The cheapest, I think, was $17 an hour. And because she needed 24/7 care, not care so much at night because she would sleep, you know, when she could, but for everything else. And that just wiped me out, wiped our family out, wiped out her savings. And then after that, you know, she changed. Like, she had to walk with a walker. It also, I think, affected a little bit of her memory because of the stress to her body. So I have been caring for her now, and she goes to daycare, but it's, you know, it's expensive. We can't, it's about, right now, about $65 a day. And if she were to go every day that it was possible, I mean, it would be in the thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. So I have to do everything for her. It's like manage her medications. I mean, basically live her life for her, because right. she cannot do for herself. I mean, you look at her, she looks fine. She's a really happy person. So I'm really lucky. There's other people out there, I don't know how they do it. They people with Alzheimer's can get mean. And get combative. She's not as combative. So I just came from, I came a little late because it took half an hour of trying to convince her to take a bath. And it's very stressful every time. And I try to do it myself. Luckily, a caregiver comes from St. Francis to help. But you need that outside person to sometimes provide that extra added incentive to go. But, you know, and this is twice a week, and it's the same thing twice a week. But anyway, I've had to cut down on my work ever since then, because I live in Mililani and I work in town, and it would get so stressful of she would come home from daycare, you know, like 4 o'clock, right? And if there was an accident, someone either jumped the freeway, got shot, or hits, you know, then, you know, it's like I'd be coming home at 8.
Right.
You know, meanwhile, she's at home and I'm thinking, is she going to, like, fall
right.
again? Are we going to be in that situation? Is she going to be able to eat? You know, is, you know, so it became really highly stressful. And also on top of that, you know, we go to the doctor a lot, you know, and at that time she did fall. I mean, rehab took, you know, months, you know, so it's like, they're like, you need to go 3 times a week. You know, I'm thinking, great, how am I going to do this, right?
Can I ask you a question? Are you an only child?
No, my sister lives in California and my brother lives with us. And so he does what he can. Not everyone can do this. He right. can do certain
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
He's great actually with her, but, you know, he's not going to sit there and bathe her. I mean, that's, she would not want that, right?
So does your sister come back at all, help out?
She has 3 kids. She's a widow. And this is the thing. It's like, you just never know what's going to happen with life. So expecting yeah. her to come and help when she yeah. has her own stress, and that's the thing. So, you know, it falls on whoever can and is available. People have asked, well, what about your family? Well, my aunt, she goes back to the Philippines a lot. She, you know, and she can when she can, she can help when she wants. My mother's an immigrant. Most of her family's in the Philippines. We've thought maybe we should send her to the Philippines.
That's not a bad idea.
But her village is about 70 kilometers away from the nearest hospital. Oh. You know, and so there was an earthquake in Bohol where my mom's from. And I'm thinking,
that's another stressor.
Yeah, yeah, it's another. There's no way because she, there's just no.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
She has relatives. You know, a good friend of mine had this problem like yours, and they lived on Molokai, very limited service in Molokai. So when the mother passed away of taking care of the dad, he goes, now what do I do? I said, well, are you moving to Molokai? Because he lived on Maui. He goes, no. Well, something's going to happen. And just so happened, he put the word out, and just so happened, he had a relative that said, bring him to the Philippines, and we'll take care of him. And I think they paid $2,000 a month for 24/7 care.
Wow.
Because the pesos of, you know, I think it's like 50 to 1 or 45 to 1. But anyway, long story short, it worked out. So he would go to the Philippines twice a year, check up on him, called every once in a while. But that's not an option. I mean, it's not a bad option. But I think, you know, you said 9 years she's had this now. And the average life expectancy, my last research was 9.9 years. And it could be another 9 years.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with the stress then with your working? You know, actually, another story. My neighbor works in Kapolei. We live in town. My neighbor, I said, you don't want to find a job close to the town? Because both our parents, one's bedbound, one's 92 years old. And so she's moved back from the mainland to care for mom and dad. She lives and works in White Kapolei. I said, you don't want to find a job close to the town? She goes, no. I said, oh, really? Why is that? That's my quiet time.
Oh,
the
wow.
drive, hour there, hour back, twice a day. Mm-hmm. That's your time to herself. And I thought about it. That's a good point, you know. Mm-hmm. But how do you deal with the stress? Or because, you know, I tell people, if you go down, if you get sick or hurt, who's left?
Right, exactly. Well, you know, I go to caregiver support group. You know, I also make sure.
The Alzheimer's one?
Yeah, there's the Alzheimer's Association of Hawaii has several of them around.
Yeah.
Different
yeah.
places.
Every week there's someplace.
Every week there's someplace.
If anybody needs any kind of a resource, they're a great resource. And because people, there's a lot of stories like yourself, but I've been to them, and you've been, you can probably confirm this, that the first 10, 15 minutes is complaining or
yes.
regressing what happened that week. But then again, it turns to like, oh, this happened to me too. Here's how you deal with it, right?
Exactly.
It's so important. When I find people out, always point them to a workshop or a resource group.
Right, because it makes you feel less alone, and it makes you feel like
right.
this is not abnormal. And then people do have solutions, and they've tried different things. And people are at different places of the caregiving spectrum. Some people are at the beginning. Some people are even, I want to say at the end, but people do come back even though their parents or whoever they were taking care of has passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to, one, find and give support to those who are also in the same position. Because unless you're in this position, you really have no idea. I mean, of the complete stress that it is to you physically, mentally, physically, even spiritually. You're wondering, you know, why am I in this situation? Why does it seem like that other people don't care? Why does it feel like society doesn't care? Why is it that I have to do this burden on my own? Is the only way for us to work this out is by everyone going on Medicaid, which I don't think is the solution. I think that this bill will help keep people from doing that. I have an uncle who is on Medicaid, who is an elder. He's a year younger than my mother, and it absolutely helps someone like him. He has nothing because he is very poor. So that is there for him, and we shouldn't tax that for people who need it. For those of us who have a little bit, it's just so that we don't get into that place, and I think that is what people need to be looking at. It tells society that we care for our kupuna other than just lip service, that we care about their quality of life for them. I care about my mother's quality of life. I don't want to just have her be some vegetable and some, you know, place and not be seen or heard. And that's not how we should treat our kupuna. She has value, even though she might not remember the day it is, or she might not want to take a bath, you know, but she has value. Her stories have value to her grandchildren, to our neighbors, when she makes other people's laugh. This bill will help us see kupuna for their value and their caregivers.
Yeah, I want to say, I think it's also important that we value the caregivers that are taking care of the kupuna, because when they leave the workforce, they're leaving education, experience. I mean, there's just a whole gamut of things that we're not able to learn from you, because you bring value to our life. So when you have to leave the workforce, we lose that. And then we have to maybe wait for the younger generation to obtain that, or I'm teaching that to them. And, you know, so it's very challenging. And I wanted you to touch on, what does it really mean when someone has to leave the workforce? I mean, to the future tense of what's going to be the effect.
Okay. We're going to stop right there. Good question, though, Melissa. And Darlene, thanks you so much. We're going to take a short break, because we always have to. And we'll be right back in a few minutes. So stand by. We're talking about the Kupuna Caregivers Bill. So it's kind of important to come back, because we're going to give you more information about the bill, but really more of Darlene's story, but then have Pedro talk to you about how we can get this moving, because I know a lot of you here that are listening today are baby boomers like myself and are caring for their parents. So let's take a short break and we'll be right back.
With Percy Ihara from Generations Radio. If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690, The Answer.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Aloha, this is Martha Clopin.
And Al Harrington. Choosing the right Medicare plan not only saves you money, it also helps you avoid headaches and heartaches down the road.
We want to remind everyone
to listen to A Medicare Moment with Martha, Sundays from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we help answer important questions on Medicare so you can stay healthy, wealthy, and wise all year long.
Call me at 543-2073. 543-2073.
The name to remember for primary health care in Hawaii is Dr. Jeffrey Lin, board-certified family physician with over 20 years' experience and a special interest in taking care of senior citizens. He's now located in the Kuakini Medical Plaza. And from now to the end of March, Dr. Lin is offering free flu shots to protect you and your family this flu season. To schedule an appointment, please call 824-0411 or log into mdhonolulu.com. Dr. Jeffrey Lin, healthcare for the whole family at mdhonolulu.com.
I was an addict from the age of 13. I finally decided it was time for a change. I walked into the Salvation Army Adult Rehabilitation Center, and that got me ready for the real world. Now, I choose to be guided by Jesus Christ, and today, I'm building a powerful and promising future, free from drugs and alcohol.
Please shop at the Salvation Army Family Stores. With our discounted sales, your support through your purchase helps men live a clean, sober, and productive life.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4- and 5-night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include three meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Howard from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm Percy Ihara here, and Melissa's out talking to our next guest. But anyway, if you haven't seen it yet, check out Generations Magazine, the February-March issue. It's featuring my friend Jeff Apaka, who works over at the Waikiki Community Center, celebrating 25 years there. He's just done a great job of and has great compassion for seniors and compassion at the Waikiki Community Center. He's an ocean guy. He's an entertainer.
He's a living legend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, his father, Alfred Apaka, is a living legend. I mean, it's a legend, but he's done so much work. And he has a great story that we covered about him. But anyway, check it out. We have over 200 locations. The easiest place to get it, I tell everybody, statewide, is the YMCA. I'm sorry, the YMCA, but the library system. Excuse me. We're on, I think, close to 50 libraries in the state, including Molokai and Lanai. On the Big Island, KTA, they distribute a lot of copies there. Or you can go to the Office on Aging or the County Office on Aging. Besides the YMCA, Vacations Hawaii, Big City Diner. The library is the easiest one to get to because there's a library in just about every little community there. Ask the librarian. Worst case, if you can go online, go to generations808.com, and you can pull up all the issues, actually from the very first one with my friend Kirk Matthews and Linda Coble, by the way, and an old governor, with old football coach, baseball coach, Prosecutor Keith Kaneshiro, and coming up very soon, Senator Kaka, just letting you know, coming our April, May issue. But a lot of great stories. And we actually, Pedro and Darlene, I thought about this three months ago, that every issue now we're going to cover a big issue besides a cover story. And so long-term care is featured on page 14. And it really says, where is it heading? I had interviewed Barbara Kim Stanton from AARP, our Office on Aging Director, Terry Byers, and our city guy lady was kind of busy because we got this written out in December. So I actually put in my little 2 or 3 cents there about this issue. And it's just a growing issue. In fact, on page 17, Can We Afford to Retire in Paradise? By Audrey Suga Nakagawa from AARP. But it's just a big issue. But we have different stories. I love the pictures of Jeff Apaka. Take a look at that. Don't forget, Melissa,
to like us on Facebook.
Yes, Facebook. Don't forget to watch KITV Aging Well segment every Saturday morning.
Yep. And if you want to get involved and learn more topics like we're talking about today with the Kapuna Caregiver Bill, the Kapuna Caucus meets the first Friday of every month. It's at the state capitol. Room 325. There'll be legislators there, people from AARP.
All the directors on aging from every island are usually there.
Yep.
A lot of big nonprofits, a lot of agencies like Department of Health, Department of Human Services are there. But it's really important, like this bill, and like with Darlene, you know, we need to advocate for that.
Absolutely.
And if you're having these issues, you need to try and find some time to speak up, because I personally believe the one who cries the loudest is going to get the money. That's mm-hmm. my personal yep. opinion, you know, and it's not visible. You know, right. homeless is visible. This is not visible.
Like I had mentioned, I mean, this happens in the home and nobody really takes the time to go out and advocate because we're so busy caring for
exactly
them.
Right. Exactly. Well, Darlene's here.
Yeah, so she knows. But she had, you know, a little issues this morning trying to get your mom to bathe. So, I mean, even though, and she could have maybe just canceled altogether because right. it's another stressor to come into town. So we really thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. Another thing, Kakua Council happens at Harris United Methodist Church. And that happens at the last
Last Monday of the month.
I keep on forgetting
about that. That's from 11:30 to 1. It's the best $5 you'll spend. Because you'll get either a Subway sandwich or a pizza with salad. but we talk about and advocate issues in our community regarding anything regarding seniors. Mm-hmm. And there's some great speakers over there. So
you can go to kakuacouncil.org and find out more information. Yeah.
So anyway, check out generations808.com online or check out go to the library. And then we have a few magazine racks downtown. But great photos of Jeff there in Waikiki. But also a lot of different stories about like super seniors. The tennis team that's going to the Nationals, and one little nonprofit that just came up, Project Focus. A bunch of photographers, and they're older, but they wanted to find a way to give back and partner, and so they actually work with kids and seniors and take photographs, and they're going to have an exhibit pretty soon in town, but it's Project Focus if you want to get involved and if you're a photographer. So anyway, we're here with Haro...
Pedro Haro
and Darlene Rodriguez talking about the Kupuna Caregivers Bill. If you haven't heard about it, you can probably Google it or read it, look in a paper. But so we were talking earlier, where does this stand right now? And you said it passed first?
Mm-hmm. It had passed the first committee on both the House side and the Senate side. So now it's going into the money committees.
And so we have two ladies over there.
We do. We have the great Representative Sylvia Luke, who is a representative in town, Po'oa, Pacific Heights, parts of Nu'uanu. And also we have it going to Ways and Means Committee on the Senate side, which is chaired by the great Senator Jill Tecuda over in Kaneohe.
Right. And so do you guys have any feeling where it's at, or have you reached gotten an opinion about this?
Yeah, we think that there's a lot of worthy causes that are competing for the same funds, right?
Yes.
One of the things that we're doing is that pointing out is that this does not create any additional taxes. We're not looking to create to take any more money away from anybody. What we're trying to do is try to place this on the top of priorities on people's list. And you know, you're 100% right that this is one of those hidden issues. You know, a lot of those worthy issues are hidden issues. And one of the questions that sometimes we get is, well, how are we going to pay for this? We're already paying for it.
Right.
One of the biggest costs of health care is, as you know, the doctor sitting next to me knows, is end-of-life care.
Mm-hmm.
And what we know is that an ounce of prevention is worth its weight in gold. If we're able to have our kupuna take their medications as prescribed, you know, keep them from injuring themselves through falls or through other means, if we keep them, you know, being able to exercise regularly, move around regularly, with the type of care and support that their family can bring, that's going to create the healthiest environment for them that is going to pay for itself. As far as the hospital bills that won't come in, the workers that don't have to take off work in order to be able to meet those demands of their kupuna, of the people that they're taking care of, we think that it's a worthwhile initiative. So now we just have to raise it further in the agenda for a lot of people's agendas to be able to say this is a priority, not just in our family, not just in our community, but for the state. We have the biggest per capita number of people over age of 65. So we have to take those bold, big steps in the state to be able to do that. And we think the legislators know that. There's just a lot of competing issues. We know that there's a lot of competing issues. We know that there's a rail. We know that there's homeless issues. We know that there's a lot of worthy issues. Hawaii cannot bear to push this off to another day anymore.
Right. Like I said, the snowball is we call it silent tsunami. You know, we've been calling it silent tsunami for over 10 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the snowball is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So we were talking earlier about, you mentioned about the cost. It really, truly is costing us anyway. and it's only going to cost us more and more down the road. And in fact, I sat with a couple of senators at a luncheon about 3 months ago. I said, like Darlene said, people go on Medicaid, but, I mentioned it to a couple of these senators I was sitting with, and they didn't, by the way, didn't have an answer. I said, Medicaid is going to get to the point where, these numbers are going to double to triple, and I don't think we have enough funds to cover that. Right now, our national budget, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you know, isn't Social Security and Medicare half our budget anyway already?
I believe so, yes.
The federal budget. In the state of Hawaii, I believe it is too. Department of Human Services is the largest. It overtook DOE, education, and it's growing. And I think with all the baby boomers now still working, the difficulty to take care of a parent is huge. I mean, at some point down the road, darling, I always tell people that it's probably going to get worse. Mm-hmm. Is she still mobile, your mother?
She is.
So at some point, she may not be able to be mobile.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
And then what happens? I'm not quite sure. That keeps me up at night, and that makes me terrified because I worry, how are we going to pay for her being placed somewhere else? I mean, Medicare can only, is it like 30 days in the hospital? But it doesn't care for someone who needs 24/7 in another kind of institution.
Yeah, that's long-term care.
It's long-term care.
And Medicaid might be an option because Medicaid can. The only downside, the big downside of Medicaid is that you can't stay in your home.
Yeah.
I've been advocating just recently, the last probably 6 months, that we need to bring back the old program called Nurses Without Walls, where they would come in 2 or 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. It was pretty similar to what you're talking about, 2 or 3 hours a day at the most. But it's to check up on you. It's called Nurses Without Walls. But that money ran out, I don't know, gosh, at least 6-7 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I was talking to a couple of senators recently last week that they need to start thinking about that.
Right.
So I think, Pedro, so we had talked about $600,000 right now to cover the setup costs.
Yeah, we're looking at $600,000. The bill is looking at $600,000 for the first year, for the first program year, which would be in 2017. And then starting in 2018, to be distributing $6 million across people who need it. In the survey that we conducted with Board Research, of the people who would be eligible for the service, 90% said, I'm in complete agreement of this. This is something, Darlene's story is very similar to what we're hearing so many other people talk about. And I think, what she's doing in telling these stories, we have so many people who write to us and say, hey, listen, I want to be at these hearings. I want to be a part of these rallies. I want to be advocating, but I can't. Mm-hmm. Darlene's story represents hundreds of thousands of people who are going through the exact same situation. So, we don't think that we believe that this investment is going to bring dividends that have not really been explored for the state. And, as we're looking at cost-saving measures for the state, this is one of those cost-saving measures.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Healthcare, like you're mentioning, the astronomical cost of Medicare and Medicaid in our country can be reduced if we do more prevention. And we're looking at this as a preventive mechanism. We've seen it with other health issues. And we think that it's time for this.
But do you know off the top of your head if there's any other state that has a program like this?
There's no other state right now that is creating this kind of environment. Washington State is creating a workforce development so that at least there is the demand or that the demand will be met with qualified individuals who are able to take care of those jobs. But there is no other state that is sort of taking this big, bold leadership because for Hawaii, it makes sense. We are the ones that need to be taking these kind of steps. And we are in an island culture. It's very difficult for us to say, let's go to a cheaper state and live there. Our family, we can't send our family members off, hundreds of thousands of miles away to live in some other facility. The best we can do is go across to the next valley, maybe.
Or neighbor island. That's best.
Even that is.
Oh yeah. Hey, what about Minnesota? Minnesota is the second healthiest state in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Have they have a long term care insurance? long-term care public awareness campaign over there.
They definitely, yeah, they do. And we've been learning a lot from the other states that they're doing. We think that it's going to, this isn't the silver bullet. You know,
right.
We're going to need to learn from what Washington's doing in preparing their workforce. We're going to need to learn from Minnesota as to what they're doing about educating the community. And they're looking at us, and we're getting calls from them to be able to say, we're interested to see what you're doing. We have the organization that I work for, Caring Across Generations, is working across the different states, but they're substantially looking at Hawaii as being the model for the rest of the country because we are the healthiest state, because we have the longest lifespan, because we have the most per capita of people over the age of 65, saying, you guys are the model for the rest of the country, and I think we can do it. I think we should do it.
Yeah, it's got to be able to move that up the priority list, up the ladder, because I know it's not in the top 10 probably right now, but I think it's something. But, Darlene, I want to get back to you. You know, your story is so similar to everything everybody hear. But in my mind, I'm actually the only one that's part of the magazine that has never had any firsthand experience with caregiving. Fortunately for me, my parents are still going on. But at some point, they're going to need care. But everybody else in my magazine, our photographer, our editor, our art director, our copy editor, our distribution people, a friend of mine just called me the other day. I thought he was calling about the magazine. He called me about, my father-in-law has to move out of the adult day center. I said, oh, why is that? Oh, because he's kind of disruptive. Oh, so what do you want to do? Well, he goes to a place in, let's say Pro City. It's not Pro City. It's in Pro City. Where do you want to go? Oh, we want to stay in Pro City. So there's not a whole lot of – is there another day center in Pro City? I don't know. I think
– that was two or three.
Two or three, yeah. I sent him a list of the care home, adult day centers, but that's a very common thing. So how do you deal with all this? Because your sister's on the mainland, can't come back very often. Your brother does what he does best. Because all the burden's on you.
Yes, and it is. It sometimes feels really hard to bear. We keep saying, I'm not the only one. I was telling someone else, one thing that people don't understand is that you kind of feel a little shameful because you feel like you're incompetent. You know, and that's the reason why it's hidden in the home, because you think, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do it all? Well, it's actually inhumanly possible. Right. It really is.
And if I'm doing it right.
And if I'm doing it right.
I have a friend that she's taking care of her mom that has Alzheimer's, and she's like, I just don't know if I'm doing it right.
Right, exactly.
And that's what the importance of going to, you know, the Alzheimer's Association to talk to other caregivers so you can get that reinforcement.
Right, and I've actually gone to those kind of like teaching workshops for caregivers, and then I also went through something called Eden at Home. And then this is the one thing, is that yes, we can place people in an innocent institution, but we also need to treat them humanely and fairly at the end of life.
Absolutely.
This is what keeps me going. Is like, as much as my parents, they sacrificed so much for me to have a great childhood or to have all these things, well, I need to do the same thing for them. I do the best that I can. I ask for a lot of help of other people. I do feel really ashamed of sometimes at doing that, because you feel like you need to. Mm-hmm. I'm able to do this because if I need to go on vacation, I will ask people to come and watch my mom. And they will do so gladly because they see how hard I have worked.
Right.
Or they also love my mom. Not everyone has that. If you can afford it, you can, you know, put her in a home, you know, in places for like 2 weeks minimum, right? But that's like thousands of dollars.
Right.
So I personally have just had to think to myself, I'm doing the best that I can. It's like how do people have multiple children and you know, go out their day? You think no one has died. You know, it's like we're fed, we're okay. We're not living in some place that has a typhoon. You know, it's like it's okay. And that's how I can, you know,
you're kind of living day to day.
I do live day to day, and that's hard. Then when you, I found it really difficult to be at work when I had to just think in the moment, because you can't forecast, because sometimes you're just juggling with, you're just trying to juggle too much.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really taxing. I pray a lot, you know, and I forgive myself a lot. I think my mom forgives myself a lot. My brother gives me all the support he can, you know, and if I don't do it, who's going to do it? Right. Yeah. And I'm not going to be a person who's going to just dump my mom somewhere. That's just,
you can't do that.
Yeah. Also, that's illegal. You know, it's inhumane, and we shouldn't be doing this as a society, and we should not throw the people who are doing this away. You know, I want to be productive. I want to work. I have a lot to give. Right now, it's just focused on her at the moment. So I'm doing the best that I can. Look, you know how I count my years. Last year, she didn't end up in the hospital once.
Wow.
That's good. But that's because she didn't fall. Yeah. You know, but that's because I had to quit my job so that she wouldn't end up in the hospital. Because when I was working, she ended up in the hospital more often than not,
mm-hmm.
because people, you know, we didn't have, no one was eyes on her when she was like, experiencing fever at night, you know, that I was too exhausted to figure that out. Right. So I did the best that I could now that, you know, so I don't know. It's a trade-off. Do I do this? Do I pay into Social Security and save money, or do I take care of her? Well, mm-hmm. I've chosen this.
Well, I think that this bill will break that cycle. I really wanted to bring that up. With you not able to pay into Social Security, who's going to take care of you?
Exactly.
You know, in 30 years or whatever. I mean, this bill will actually break that cycle, allow people to stay in their workforce, be productive. And then when you get to the age of 65, you can actually start pulling from Social Security.
Yes.
And what we actually found from our research, it was actually just released this week, is that 20% of the people that were surveyed know somebody in their family that has quit their job to be able to be a caregiver. So that's 1 in 5 people.
Yes.
In Hawaii that are doing that. So we're continuing the cycle. We're continuing that generation that's going to have to depend on family caregivers. The difficult part about that is that caregivers tend to have lower health outcomes themselves, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
And so you find people with hypertension, with higher levels of cholesterol, higher levels of diabetes, and then they are going to turn into those golden years themselves and will need even further care than their own parents. So, I mean, the cost, if we just want to look at it at sort of the monetary cost, if we just look at it in that way, it's astronomical. But even more so, what this bill is trying to do in a philosophical level is value the kind of work that Darlene does, is value the kind of work that our families have always provided, and being able to allow them to continue to provide that work without being providing a drain to their families or economically to the state.
Well, and to point out, I guess my generation is Generation X. We're not having children like, you know, the baby boomers were. So who's going to take care of us? It's not going to happen.
By
long-term care insurance. So this will break, like I said, I can't emphasize it enough. Mm-hmm. This will break the cycle, allow you to be successful in your golden years as well, because we're not going to have caregivers.
You know, we got a couple minutes left, but I wanted to ask Pedro, how is the business community support? Are they supporting you guys at all? The workforce, the Chamber of Commerce?
Yes, we're doing some work with the Rotary. I'm doing a series of presentations with Rotary, and what we hear time and time again is that it makes sense. Most business people want to do right by their workers. I mean, they want to work with their bottom line, but they also want to have a workforce that's happy and healthy. That creates a better environment for everybody. So we're seeing a great deal of support across different organizations. And we think it makes sense at this point.
Well, the data is there. The stories are there. And I think it's really important, guys, if you're listening, to really talk to your politicians, your senators, your representatives in your area to really think about this Kupuna Caregivers Bill. So, Darlene, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Could you at least give us, are there caregivers that are listening out there, one good tip that you found that could help them?
Don't be afraid to ask for support from your friends and family, and call places that can help, like the Alzheimer's Association if your family member has Alzheimer's. Really reach out. I feel really lucky that I was able to do that, and people helped me in that way. So I called the Executive Office on Aging, because I didn't know what to do. So they're there to help. So don't be afraid, and don't feel ashamed.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed at all to ask for help. I know it's hard. People did text me or call me after the newspaper article came out to tell me to thank me for speaking out, because they could not. So I know I'm not the only one in my group of friends, and I am not. So, but don't, and I urge them, call for help, And we share tips and everything. So you'd be surprised if you just talk to someone even at the get the grocery store and they might have something to say. But yeah, attend a support group. It's really helpful.
Yeah. Office and Aging is a great place to start. In our magazine, we have a lot of resources like Project Donna. I might even call AARP, Catholic Charities, Salvation Army. There's a lot of great places. Darlene, any tidbits of information we got to get?
Also, the Elderly Affairs Division, if you can Sydney County. I mean, that's a great resource a lot of people don't know of. You know, utilize your resources or call Percy.
Yeah, you can call me or email me. I get a call every day. But anyway, Pedro, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is the Kupuna Caregivers Bill. Please support that. We do support that. And I know everybody supports this. We just need to push harder. I just wanted to finish with this last quote from Rosalind Carter. I mentioned this before on the show, and I mentioned it to Mike Buck this morning, that he was quoted as saying, there are only four kinds of people in this world: those who have been caregivers, those who are caregivers, those who will be caregivers, and those who will need caregivers. It's so important to support this. So thank you very much. Have a great weekend, everybody. Aloha, and live well.